the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. You're back at the spot right here. This is the place where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Wow, we've got a quadruple threat here, four powerhouses. These are four chicks with the website. I ran into, I don't know if it's the founder, but one of the founding members, and her name is Cindy Fleming Alton. We just got to vibing and talking, and she says, you know what? I'm partnering with three other dynamic women, and we're four chicks with a website. What does that look like in the tech space, in the business space? What do they have to offer? They also are a podcaster, and each one of them contribute to the podcast by interviewing guests. They're just dynamic, and I'm so happy to have them here. Let's meet them. So here at the upper left hand, well, it might be right hand, just depends on how your screen is, but we have LaToya Frazier.
Hello.
Hello. We have Pat Parker.
Hi.
We have Lee Beatty.
Hey there.
And we have Cindy Fleming Alton. Hello, ladies.
Morning.
Hi, April.
Good morning, and I'm so glad to have you here on the Edge. My brains are excited about figuring out what's going on and how they can utilize your great services and hear all about your great skills. So let's start with you, Cindy. Tell us a little bit about the creation of Four Chicks with a Website and a little bit about your background.
Okay, well, I'll start with my background. I've worked in the tech industry for about 30 years, primarily building and implementing information technology platforms in government and healthcare. And interspaced with that, I would get a little bit frustrated with the corporate structure. I would take a leave of absence. I'd go out and I had a company for the past 30 years working in the tech space. So I would leave the corporate structure. I would go write software applications, and then the lure of consistent, predictable income and really good benefits would lure me over to the dark side. And I would go work in Cubicle Nation for a while again until I got really frustrated. And I yo-yoed back and forth with that for, you know, way too many years. And then about 15, 20 years ago, I decided I'd had enough. I really needed to strike out on my own. And so I did. And I've been working on my own in the digital space since then.
Well, that is pretty cool, because I've done that too, girl. I check out in a heartbeat. Corporate America, it would just drain me. Yeah. My heart wouldn't be there. I know that I'm not giving them 110% because I'm not there. So yeah. You were able to maximize all the experience that you had and take that and pour this into the organization. Tell us a little bit about Four Chicks with a Website. What is the concept behind that?
Well, we are four chicks.
Cindy, tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, we are definitely four chicks. There's actually more than four of us. We work with a number of other entrepreneurs, but we are the backbone. We are the core of the organization. And we've actually worked together for a long time, actually. I don't want to out anybody by throwing out any more numbers, but we've worked together off and on in different agencies for a long time. And I think speaking for all of us, and feel free to just correct me here, ladies. This is where the truth comes out. We just felt that we weren't working with the clients that we wanted to work with. We weren't serving them in a way that we really wanted to. And we just realized a little over a year ago, actually almost 2 years ago, that it was time for us to chart our own destiny. So after a lot of late night conversations, frequently in our pajamas with a glass of wine, we hatched Four Chicks with a Website.
Wow, that's really cool. And the logo is amazing. So Lee Beatty,
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about you, Precious. How do you show up in the world?
Well, if you were to Google me, you'd find out that in 1984, I started a business. I was working actually for a Fortune 500 company, had a very lucrative job, but I saw a need that my clients needed, and they decided that it wasn't important. So I left, and I started a company that developed software for analytical laboratories. I saw a particular need, and it did really, really, really well. I sold it in 2001 and retired.
Wow.
I decided that retirement wasn't for me, because when you have a business, during that time from 84 to 2001, it grew from two people initially to, I had 73 employees and 26 sales guys worldwide.
Bravo.
So when I sold it, I decided I wanted to take some time. And after about a year, I decided that I was bored. So I went to work for another agency as a project manager. My skill set is that with my background in marketing, and especially internet marketing as it's grown over the last years, I could help other small businesses. And so we all worked together at a previous agency. And as Cindy said, for my purpose, I wanted to be able to establish more long-term relationships with clients, because kind of forming partnerships with them to help them grow their businesses. And that wasn't what the other company wanted to do. So we were talking about it, and I joined up with these ladies.
I think that's great. Now, when you say software intelligence, does that correlate anything with what we're facing, artificial intelligence now? Does that mirror together, or am I off the chart?
Yeah, to some extent, sure. Because, you know, what we have to look at are user experiences. And artificial intelligence is also part of the user experience. And software intelligence, in some cases, it can be almost too intelligent and override what the user's really wanting to do. So
right.
Too smart. But yeah, sure.
Perfect. So now let's talk to you, LaToya Frazier. How you doing? How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, I want to hear all about it. I had an opportunity to listen to one of the podcasts, and it was great. It was about brand ambassador. I was a brand ambassador. I'm still a brand ambassador of Martha Stewart, Casio, the Diageo portfolio. I've done it all. So nice. You know, from soup to nuts. So that was really powerful. It was jam-packed with a lot of information. I look forward to listening to your podcast. Tell me a little bit about your experience, and then tell us how the podcast evolved and what's its purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. So, excuse me. So my background is in learning and development, and project management and consulting. So I was a corporate trainer for a Fortune 500 company, and then I transitioned to the project management side of that, the learning and development department. So beforehand, I was actually training the curriculum, and then I moved to the backside where I was actually in charge of the development and the execution of the training department for the organization. So that's kind of what I do now in terms of with Four Chicks as well, is the project management and consulting piece. So that's kind of what I bring to the table with these wonderful ladies here. So the whole organization piece of it, the whole strategy piece in terms of mapping out what those initial projects that we work on look like, and kind of managing them from the initiation phase to the launch phase.
Well, you are doing the most, okay? I was a corporate trainer too, you know, at the gas company. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, it's learning. I like that though. I really like to pour into people. I like to see them learn. I like to see their light bulb moment, and I learn from them as well.
Absolutely. Okay. So when it comes to the podcast, one of the things that we talk about is the things that we see that our clients have questions about, and even some of the struggles, especially when it comes to the digital world and the technology space. There's just a lot of things that a lot of folks don't understand. So we wanted to be able to use our podcast as a platform to be able to educate and inform not only our clients, but the masses, right? You know, based on our experience, be able to share that information with the world.
Absolutely. Okay, pretty Patty Parker.
Used to be called Party Packer.
You're delightful. So tell us a little bit about you and your experience and your contribution to the team.
Well, I have, like Cindy, like most, except for LaToya, she's a youngster here, but I have 30 years of programming experience. And so I've worked on a lot of different projects. I worked to automate the semiconductor line in Fishkill, New York, which was really fun. And then I also worked on a big project for C.R. Bard. We took their, reported their ablation, well, their electrophysiology system from one system to another. And it was really very interesting. But I actually retired when I was 46 because I had a daughter. I was really lucky to have my first daughter. And then I came out of retirement 7 years later when I got divorced. And things had changed. So, you know, I had to look at a whole, you know, the jobs that I had been doing really weren't available. And I was looking for something new that I could do and then also be there for my daughter. And I kind of fell into WordPress. And then my programming skills have really helped because, you know, we run into all the time that the software isn't doing exactly what we want it to do. How do we do that? And that's where my background comes in. Plus, I really like working with these ladies. It's just such a nice blend of talent, you know, and so I think that's what makes us really successful is that everybody has a different area of expertise and we just blend together really well.
Well, you do. I mean, you mix together like a nice cup of latte. So Lee, I want to ask you a little bit about marketing. You know, I've had a great guest on here and I believe in marketing. I put myself out there, but what is it looking like in that space? Everyone is so fixated on social media. I think personally that there is a drawback to that because it's not just about online. I feel that people still need to be in print. I feel that they still need to be on different platforms because this platform is going to change, okay? Once they figure out what's happening with Mister, they're going for social media and they're going hard. What is the structure of marketing these days? What are some tips that you'd give my guests, my brains?
I'd say a couple of things. First of all, decide what it is that you can do for people that are your prospects. And then target them. Target them not just through social media, but where do they live? Where do they work? Where do they shop? What do they eat? All these different things. And then the next thing is that one thing that has been lost in the world of the internet is we've become too impersonal.
Right.
We really need to establish relationships with people because people will only want to buy or use your services if they know, like, and trust you.
Absolutely.
And you can't do that through a single email. That's internet rape. So.
Woo.
I know. Good. And
I got the visual. I got it.
Okay. So you can see why I'm the mean chick. You know, I think the thing that we need to bring back to marketing is the conversation that goes on in the prospect's head, the conversation that you as a vendor need to have with them. And you also need to make sure that you realize that what you have to offer won't fit everybody.
No.
One of my favorite things is to tell people, I don't know if it's a real word, nicheify. You need to nicheify, find your niche.
Right, that is.
And then focus on that.
It is, and you know, so many times people create online programs, they create processes and procedures with what they have in mind. But that is not necessarily what the client needs.
Absolutely.
You still need to have focus groups. You still need to do surveys. You still need to have communications. You need to be open to feedback because you are the vendor and they are the client. And so you want to decide and design your programs for them. So Cindy, tell us a little bit about the great work that you're doing. And I know that I'm trying to check on my notes. You have 30 years in the healthcare space. Are you still working in that industry at all?
Actually, interestingly enough, sort of. I have a personal client that is a group of healthcare providers. They're a group of hospitals in my area. And I work with them every once in a while. Actually, they do have a project coming up this summer to help them bridge the gap between the technology and their healthcare providers. So like, they're a hospital group, as you know, like technology is just rampant in hospitals. But as Lee was saying, well, as all of us are saying, is that what happens is this technology is developed for the masses, so to speak. And you then pick up that technology and you drop it in a healthcare setting, and it needs to be tweaked from a platform perspective, but also marrying that technology with established processes that are already in the healthcare, but also translating that techno babble that we all like to use to that terminology that is actually used within the healthcare. And one of the things that we focus a lot on is particularly with the physician staff, right, is that the way they work, how they interact with their clients, how they interact with the rest of the healthcare providers in the hospital, isn't necessarily conducive to a kind of a global or a kind of pre-built platform system. So we spend a lot of time working to both customize the tech end of it, but also customize the process and the procedural part at the hospital to make sure that those both of those ends meet together for the best of healthcare delivery.
But also the security, really?
Yeah.
The security, because my healthcare provider, I love them, yeah, dear, but I still have not went online to sign up. And I mean, really, do people want to know, you know, I had a colonoscopy, what is benefit is it to them? But what I have found and what I've heard, and someone told me this, and I'm sure they've innovated since then, but like the state of New York does not have all the medical records online. That's huge. When I go into the doctor's office, I'm a part of a huge HMO. I can go into anyone and boom, there is my complete chart from the womb to the tomb. Everything is right there, any medications, and it makes it very user friendly. And so I'm so glad to see that this is a part of the healthcare system, because I could be somewhere in Jersey or I could be somewhere in Texas and they're able to pull that up. But along those same lines, all this information, if it is compromised, could, you know, make you ineligible for a life insurance policy or something like that. So Lee, you know, do you think that that's very important too, is to be able to collaborate and have the security as well as the functionality?
Oh, absolutely. In addition to the security aspects, one thing that we have to deal with clients are the regulatory compliance issues.
Right.
As you know, because there are different laws, regulations, you know, something so common as, do you sell to people who are in the European Union, the EU? Mm-hmm. And if so, the requirements for privacy statements and how your process is within your own organization are different, and they are required. And it's coming here, because the state of California is now going that direction, and other states will follow. So the other thing that happens too, when you talk about the health industry, is advertising. The Federal Trade Commission is really cracking down on what they call, it's not really false advertising, but overpromise. And so when we work with our clients on what they can and cannot put on their websites, on their social media, in their emails, you got to be very careful and understand, in the case, let's say, of the supplement world, what you can say that your supplement will or will not do.
Right. Because that, you know, they say you got everything, you know, CBD oil cures everything. Yeah. And, you know, and we really don't know. Patty, as a project manager, what does that look like? What is your function? I mean, you know, it's a big $25 title, but really, what does that entail when they hire you?
As a project manager?
Yeah.
Latoya's a project manager.
You're a project manager? Well, I got my people mixed up.
Yep.
You said that you did 30 years as a project manager.
No, programmer.
Oh, programmer.
I'm sorry. Like hard code programming.
Okay, well, tell us something about those hardcore programming and what that looks like, because there's not a lot of women in my experience. I used to do multimedia projection. I used to do backup computer storage, but actually the nuts and bolts of a program. You got to be really smart and really good with math. I know that.
You know, it's funny because I actually didn't work with a lot of women. It was usually men. And I will say that it got to be a battle of like testosterone or something when you're in meetings, just yelling and screaming. And then you find yourself doing the same thing. And I just thought, well, I didn't really want to be like this.
Right.
It's a little crazy. Again, that's why I really like working with the ladies here.
Well, I mean, that takes a lot. Now, Latoya,
yes.
When it comes to training, one size does not fit all.
It does not.
And the deliverable that you have to come up with a program that is user-friendly, you're going to have to test these people to make sure that it is an application that they can use. I usually find this in a human resource capacity.
Mm-hmm.
As far as training. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, and I'll take it back a little bit to the project management piece of it, because it all kind of plays a role in that. So as we're scoping out our projects in terms of, what the initial goal is, what the outcome, what that output needs to be. So we're working with our clients to identify, if from a training perspective, what type of training that they're offering, right? So we have where we offer, our clients have membership sites where they're offering content on a regular basis, or they're offering e-courses, right? So based on their knowledge or expertise. So again, like you said, it's not cookie cutter. So it really depends on what that individual project is, how we've scoped out what their objectives are, and what they want their students to achieve as part of that curriculum. So it kind of goes back to the very beginning of us working with the client and mapping out what their goals are, and then, in terms of the project initially, and then what are the results that they want their students to achieve by taking advantage of their program or their training.
Now, Cindy, this would be considered as, people don't like this word, outsource. Oh my God, the big O. This is like an outsource type of service. Who is your ideal client? What, who are you looking to serve? Now, I know that Lee said a little bit about small businesses. All of you said something about small businesses, but you ladies come with a wealth of information, and there's nothing small in this package.
Yeah. Thank you. We actually do work with corporate clients, but I would say that really our sweet spot is, without saying corporate or small business or medium-sized business, is really that entrepreneur who is struggling to establish like predictable, consistent income streams. Ooh. And I say income streams meaning plural, because The reoccurring theme, and as all of us have been talking, is there is no cookie cutter solution. There is no real templated solution that applies to everybody. And then certainly nobody should be, throwing out the terms here, I mean, nobody should be relying with all their eggs in one basket. Like, everybody needs multiple streams of income. And that could be anything from, I'm still doing one-to-one work with a client, but I have an online predictable revenue stream that's maybe a membership site or an e-learning site, or maybe it's an e-commerce site. But I also do group work, maybe online or offline, or I speak from stage, or I've written a book. So it's really important for entrepreneurs nowadays to have that multiple streams. And for a lot of the clients that we work with that are in some way related to the service industry, a lot of those different models, not necessarily all of them, but a lot of those different models really are appropriate for them.
That's wonderful. Patty, don't just sit there in the glow of pink.
She is cute.
But give me a warm fuzzy. You've got a woman right now that is sitting in a room with a bunch of tech heads, and they're all male, and they're doing this back and forth, what would you say to that person right now to keep them encouraged, to keep them motivated, and to, you know, keep them thrusting forward in that space and not get distracted?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say hold your ground and don't be intimidated. Because I've seen that happen, you know, as I said, in meetings, I saw that happen. And I think that it's so interesting, and you still see it even today, even though I'm not in that environment all the time, but you deal with, you know, these guys that have, they sort of come across as they know everything,
right?
Because they're a guy. And you're like, oh, not really. So you just have to know your stuff and, you know, don't back down.
That's right. And don't back down. So when you are in the space, Lee, you know, like you say, you're the mean chick, which I don't believe at all. I think that you're very smart. You're very intuitive. And you might be a little bit more reserved. Give women some strategies, you know, and this is my thing. This is what I'm doing in 2012. I'm going to start an all-girls chess team. And the reason why I'm doing that is I feel if a woman is strategic, you're not a victim. You can get the queen as the strongest piece on the chessboard, okay? So Lee, give us some strategies. You know, we're in a tough space right now. You know, the economy and the world is expecting women to take over. And if we keep those same ugly isms, sexism, racism, classism, if we're still distracted by all of that, we're not going to thrust forward. We're just going to change the gender. So tell us what we could do from your perspective to just really kill it.
I think one thing that was successful for me, and I encourage all women to do this, is to keep your eyes and your ears open around you and look for opportunities.
Right.
So for example, when I saw an opportunity that the corporate client that I worked for didn't want, I went out and did it myself. And did it successfully, but I did it by listening to what my clients were telling me that they wanted, but there wasn't a product or service out there that met their needs. There are lots of opportunities out there, but you don't have to follow the flow. You don't have to do what everybody else is doing. And you can do what others are doing, just do it better and be special. Be unique to that group of people that you want to target as your target audience.
Absolutely.
That way you stand out.
That's what I say. I am not a person that thinks outside the box, baby. I build my own.
Good point. Good point.
So like you, Cindy, I mean, you know, it's yes, I have not been committed to a company for 20 years because they have not been committed to me. You know, you go in there, you got a pink slip and you still got a mortgage to pay come the first. LaToya, from your perspective, with training people, I've always encouraged people, you know, being an entrepreneur and being a very successful woman without a degree. I've been very successful in my career. But you have to know everybody from the janitor to the CEO. Mm-hmm. What are some tips that you would tell people that are still in that working space, in that corporate space, to take full advantage of the opportunities that they have in front of you? Because a job is a vehicle of exchange. You give and you get. What would you encourage someone or provide them some information that is still in that corporate space and, you know, don't want to be a solopreneur or entrepreneur?
So you say, or who does not want to be?
Yeah, for the person that just wants to go in and get a check and work in a corporation, what would be some tips that you would give them to be able to succeed in that space and still be happy?
Yeah, so if they don't want to move into the entrepreneurial space, I say, you know, find your jam, right? So if you're in that corporate space and you're in a position where you're not happy, find something where you are happy, right, in that area. And do that, and do that to the best of your ability. And I tell people all the time, if you're a trash worker, be the best trash worker that you can be. If you're the corporate CEO, be the best corporate CEO you can be. If you're a teacher, be the best teacher you can be. So whatever it is, if it's something that you're doing that you're not happy with now, that's okay. Find what it is that makes you happy and be the best at that you can be. And I tell people all the time, now you ladies said that you hadn't been at a lot of corporations for a long time. I was with my employer for 17 years before I voluntarily left. So I left on my own terms.
Right, right,
so I created my own severance package, you know, so I left on my own terms. But, and like you, Avery, you said that you made, you know, good money there. You made good money what you're doing now. And, you know, for me, I felt like the position that I was doing was great. It was lucrative, but I felt like it felt my family, but it fed my family, but it didn't feed my soul.
Right.
So if you're in a position where you feel like your soul is not being fed and you're not happy, you have to get into a space where your soul is being fed. And I feel like what I'm doing today, my soul is being fed. And I'm grateful that I'm able to be in the space with these ladies to have that accomplished.
And you know what, Brains? What I want you to do is I want you to go into that job and, you know, be proactive and cross-train yourself, okay? If you don't know accounts payable and you can sit there and watch them at lunchtime, do it. If you want to know HR and you can go in and have an informational interview, do it. If you don't know the CEO's name, make an appointment to talk to them and see what they do. Plus, it's a great ego stroker. Because people like that. They want to share their information, and that makes you so valuable because you pack up when you pack up your desk, baby, you're going to pack up that information with you and take it on to the next place. So let's talk about something fun, okay? Patty, what do you do for recreation entertainment?
I'm the most boring person. The only thing I do is I go hiking with my dogs or my dog, sorry. And I go to the gym. That's it.
Well, that's enough.
Sorry. I wish it was better. And I'm an exotic dancer.
But
does that tell you, she makes that a priority.
Really? I mean, but you know what? You have the flexibility of doing and working as much or as little as you like. But then if you want to go out on a hike in the middle of the afternoon, if you want to be with your dog, you want to read a book, all of that is important. And this is what I'm talking about. This is why I think that one of the reasons maybe why Four Chicks and a Website became as popular as it is because you have that flexibility. You have that work-life balance. You can pump your books and say, you know what, I don't want to do this right now. Or you can jump into a project with both feet. Lee, what do you do for entertainment and recreation?
Well, my husband and I spend about 4 months of the summer in our motorhome.
Wow.
And so, it's a nice motorhome. And, but we travel. But the thing is that with the technology that's available today, I can work in that motorhome. I set up an office, and if I have Wi-Fi available and cell phone as a hotspot or whatever, I can do as much work on the road as I can do in my home office. So,
and
we also Jeep. So we pull the Jeep behind the motorhome.
Wow. Well, that's what Mr. Magnificent wants to do. He retired from the Navy 20 years. He's about to retire from his second career. And he goes, baby, we're going to get a motorhome and we're going to see all 50 states. I was like, you know what? I need a bubble bath. I need some room service. Can we get a plane somewhere in between there? Don't have me driving. You know, I'm not good at driving at night, so don't be dependent on me. So, Cindy, you love to travel. You love to go to far-off exotic places. Tell us about some of the wonderful places that you visited in the last 12 months.
Oh, in the 12 months? Well, my husband travels a lot for work as well. So between my traveling for Four Chicks and my traveling with him, I have been to, I have been to Chicago, Austin, Atlanta a couple of times, Raleigh a couple
of times. That's not exotic.
LA. No, it hasn't been.
She can hook up with you, Lee. You just put her in and drag her along across the United States.
You know, it's really funny because I'm a pretty serious travel junkie, and I can find exciting things in every place I've ever been to. And I'm also, so my other hat is I'm an amateur photographer. Ooh. So going to all these urban places, there are some amazing opportunities for, street photography, graffiti, which is my current passion, is taking lots of photographs for graffiti. So I think it just kind of goes back to all four of our core philosophy is you just have some serious fun at no matter what you're doing, where you're doing it. And if it's downtown Atlanta, believe me, or Austin, as LaToya and I were just recently doing, we can find ways to have some pretty serious fun no matter where we are.
Well, I think that's wonderful. And LaToya, I want to ask you, I want you to round it out for us. If there was a young entrepreneur that came to you and said, you know what, I'm looking to start a business. What kind of conversation would you ask them? What would be some formative questions that you would lay out for them to ask themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, I would ask them, what is it that they love to do? What is it that they love to do? And one of the things that, for me, I would ask that question is because when I was initially starting my business, I was thinking that I had to come up with something else, right? Something else in terms of develop a new skill, not knowing that the skills that I already had was marketable and that people would actually pay me for them.
Right.
So find out what it is that they love to do, find out what it is that they enjoy doing, what they would do if they weren't even getting paid. So what is it that would make them happy to do if they weren't getting paid for it, right? And another thing that I would ask them to do is ask the people around them, because sometimes we get in our own way and we can't see clearly. So ask the people around them what they're good at, right? And what they think, you know, they would be good at, because I had to take a step back, because all of the things that I was thinking that I had to do or I needed to do was totally opposite. When I went out and asked my peers, they came back to the same thing that I was already doing. So I'm thinking I have to go out and do all this training and for a different skill, not thinking that the skills that I already had was good enough.
Well, you know what, Brains and Four Chicks, you are more than enough, okay? And I thank you and I honor you. I want to see those t-shirts. Who's got their t-shirt on? Adjust that screen. Yes, do it. Do it, Divas. Do it, baby. Yes, 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 yes. I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm so proud of you. I really am, because you know what? You're free. You know, we all got to earn a living, but you are able to make a choice. And you got to honor that space. Brains, you got to be able to make a choice. Yes, it's scary. You know, and if it don't work, go back and get you a 9-to-5 until you find something that does work. But never, ever give up on your dream. Okay? Never give up on your dream. So ladies, thank you so much for being here on the edge with me and my brains. Cindy, tell us how to get in contact with you. So, you know, you can get some business so you can work when you want to work.
Absolutely. You can find us on the interweb at www.4chickswithawebsite.com. And that is the number 4. So the number 4, chicks with a website.com.
I'm gonna see how I can get one of those t-shirts. I want to be a little chick.
You're the honorary chick for sure.
Oh, I love you guys so much from the bottom of my socks. My heart just isn't deep enough. Please come back individually, collectively. Keep me informed and abreast on what's going on. I'm gonna send some business your way, because people, you know, they need you. And you have a very unique skill set, and all of you have a very strong business model. And I honor you and I thank you so much for being here on the edge with me today.
Thank you.
Right. Thanks, April. Thanks, Brains.
All right, Brains, I need you to do it. Do it like you've never done it before, okay? Don't be afraid. 2020 is here. That's 2020, okay? That's 40. We're going to kill it. We are going to kill it this year. There's going to be a lot of distractions. I keep forewarning you, all right? But we can handle it if we are prepared and if we are strategic and if we are smart and if we reach out and ask for help. Because there's people like Four Chicks that are ready to help you. All right, Brains, have an amazing day. Thank you, Patty, LaToya, Lee, and Cindy. Come on back anytime. There's always a seat for you at the table here on the edge.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right.